When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The Michael K. Show.
I know this is going to be shot down because I know the two people I work with.
So I know what you're doing. So pathetic.
What?
You're a pathetic piece of garbage.
Whoa. I don't know.
He's about to beg to get out of the bet. Please don't make me do the pusick.
No, that's not what I'm going to do.
Oh, well, I apologize then.
I'm begging to get out of the bet. I can't stand this beard. I'll make a huge donation to the charity.
$100,000.
Not that big.
All right. Well, I'm sorry. Then you don't want it that bad.
I just hate it.
You really hate the beard?
I hate how it feels. I hate how it looks. Makes me look old and dirty and hobo-like.
The Michael K. Show on 98.7 ESPN.
So I just had to shut down a station initiative during the break. And I hope Don and Peter are happy. Because our pinhead suit just said to me, well, we're going to have somebody shooting you guys tomorrow some video for a commercial that we're making. I said, absolutely not. I am not going to be in a commercial with a beard. So that was shot down. So any promotion for the show, shot down now because of this.
And that's your fault. Pick better.
Well, one of us would have to have a pubic.
And I wouldn't care. I wouldn't moan and groan. So what? So you have a commercial. If anybody listens to the show, they know.
But we're running commercials to get people that don't listen to the show to listen.
I got a beard.
But that's you.
Drop.
You have a beard.
So a whole initiative gone, Peter. Think of the power that he has.
No, he's wielding power. No doubt about it.
No, because the pinhead suit said, you know, you're right. Because that's not how you're going to look for the whole year.
Of course they said you're right, Michael. When do they fight with you?
They fight a lot with me.
That's such a lie.
It's time for the Pinstripe Report.
Of course,
by
is.
Samwell Institute for Pain Management. Josh Donaldson announced his retirement.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah, 13-year career. He's 38 years old. He made it on Sean Casey's podcast. Finishes with 279 home runs, 1310 hits, an MVP while he was with Toronto when he hit 41 home runs, 123 ribbies, but didn't really have it happening in New York. And if you think about that deal with the Twins, and everybody who listens to the show, and I get a lot of grief for it, Peter and Don can attest to it, I think that Brian Cashman does a very good job.
Mm-hmm.
But that trade with the Minnesota Twins, one of the worst trades he's ever made, ever. Just think about how it worked out. Josh Donaldson, you had to pay him $50 million for two really bad seasons, and that clogged up third base for you to do anything else. You brought in IKF to play shortstop. It was an epic failure. He ended up being somewhat valuable to you when, you know, he could play all over the diamond. But as a shortstop, that wasn't happening. And he didn't even start at shortstop in the postseason that year. And then the second year of that, he played all over the diamond. And then Ben Rortfett, you know, who's, I guess his contribution to the Yankees was that he ended up catching Gerrit Cole after Jose Trevino got hurt. And caught Gerrit Cole to the tune of a Cy Young Award. But, you know, in all likelihood, he's not going to make the team this year and doesn't have any options left. So think about that deal. You traded Gio Urshela, who could have played third base instead of Donaldson. And you traded Gary Sanchez, who you didn't think was going to be able to work out in New York. And he wasn't going to work out in New York. All you had to do was release him. Instead, you made this trade and you assumed $50 million in contract for Donaldson. It turned out to be one of the worst trades that Brian's ever made. There's no way he could argue differently. Just that bad.
But, you know, even you fought it for a while because of his defense. And I just wonder, was he just too captivated by that? Did the analytics just become relied upon way too much with Josh?
No, I think they thought he could still hit. I mean, because they wouldn't have taken on $50 million in salary for a guy who could pick it at third. And you know what? Although he's a better defensive third baseman than Gio Urshela, what Urshela could have given you offensively compared to a diminishing Josh was so much better. And again, all you had to do was release. All you had to do was release him. Just release Gary Sanchez. He was due to make $6 million. If you had released him in spring training, you would have only owed him $1.5 million. Instead, you took on $50 million in Josh's contract, and it turned out to be a terrible deal.
But what numbers were they basing it off of, Michael? I mean, you take a look at his numbers at the back of his baseball card. He was never the player that he was in Toronto. All right, he had a nice year that first year in Atlanta, had 100 RBIs. But outside of that, what did he do in Minnesota that made you believe that he was going to all of a sudden find it? I mean, you take a look at these numbers; they were just not very good. He didn't play a ton.
Well, you know what? I heard when I knew that this could be a troubling deal. I had a couple of people that I know from Minnesota call me up and go, "Are the Yankees serious? They got Josh? Do you know that the whole organization is cheering today?" So Minnesota and the players didn't. I got along great with Josh. Obviously, the Tim Anderson thing was not a smart move by him. And, you know, his kind of attitude is what the Yankees were trying to acquire in that deal because they needed that kind of edge in the clubhouse. But you can't have an edge if you're not performing. Huh. So Josh never got himself right. Where, you know, he hit some home runs, but it just wasn't the same player as he was in Toronto. Well, Minnesota was thrilled to get rid of him.
So his last year in Minnesota, I guess it's the OPS that they were looking at. 842.
Which is not bad.
You know, slugging percentage, 469. Again, off of what he had done in Toronto, but still not bad. And then the last year, that was the second to last year when he was 34, by the way. I mean, they acquired a player that was going to be 36. And then his last year in Minnesota, 2021, it went to 827, 475 slugging. Again, not awful, but then it just all collapsed, Michael. He never had an OPS higher than 682, which was his first season. So he lost almost 150 points there. His slugging percentage went down almost 100, making the move from Minnesota to the Yankees. It was just an awful deal for his age and what they thought he was going to be. But, Michael, you take a look at the numbers, and that's probably the only thing that really was positive was his on-base percentage, but it was gradually going down every year since he left Toronto. Never made the All-Star game after that second to last year in Toronto.
I'm telling you, it will go down as one of Brian's worst deals. I can't think. I mean, you know, the Joey Gallo deal was awful, but he turned it into Clayton Beter, who might be a contributor this year. So this one, even when it was made, didn't quite make sense. You know, they saw something in IKF because he had won a gold glove at third base. They thought that he would be a good shortstop. He was not. He was in over his head. And again, Ben Roethlisberger, well, that story has yet to be written, but it could be done by the end of this year. Because if Austin Wells makes the team and then Trevino is the starting catcher, you're not going to keep Roethlisberger. You're going to send him down, and there's a chance that another team is going to pick him up. And that deal will be an epic fail on every single way. And I'm not killing Brian on this. I'm just saying, everybody has good and bad trades. That's an awful trade the Yankees made. So his career, Josh Donaldson, he announces today that it is over. That's the Pinstripe Report brought to you by Samwell Institute for Pain Management. For a pain-free life, visit samwellpain.com today. All right, let's go back to the phones. Let's go to Griffin in Connecticut. Griffin.
Griff.
Hey, guys. Don, I have a question.
Yes.
Rempe with this fighting. I'm actually starting to get worried. Not for his health long term, because this is not good. I saw a clip of him fighting against the Maple Leafs on Tuesday. No, not Tuesday. I mean
Saturday.
Well, it's Saturday. Fought Rempe. Yeah.
Yeah. His eyes black and blue. Is there a point where you think he should dial down the fighting a little bit?
I think we reached that point. I think it was a perfect storm of the players that he was facing in a row. And then it became a big thing on Saturday. Hockey Night in Canada leaves. Ryan Reeves, who's considered the heavyweight champion of the NHL, it'll calm down now. I'm not saying he won't scrap again. But after tonight, guys, they have 20 games left. Matt Rempe needs to prove in those 20 games that he can play in the playoffs. And I think he can. Now, it depends on deals they make. Do you realize, Michael, they make a couple of deals here. Matt Rempe's back in Hartford.
Right.
And then once we get to the playoffs, when you really don't fight in the playoffs, there's not going to be any use for him. So he needs to prove that he can go out there and play and be on that roster come playoff time, and he can't do it from the penalty box. So I think it was just a perfect storm of who they matched up with, but I think it'll start to calm down. There's just not that many enforcers in the league anymore. But I'm with him. Like, he still had the shiner. I don't know if you saw it.
Yeah, I did. You know what I don't get, Don? I mean, people have heavyweight fights, right? These are heavyweights. And, you know, Peter will tell you. So you fight, you go like 10 rounds, whatever. And you don't fight again for 5-6 months.
Right.
This guy's fighting every 2 days. It's not healthy.
And they wear
He's
gloves.
He's getting hit in the head.
Right, but they're also fighting possibly 12 rounds at 3 minutes a clip.
I mean, you're getting punched in the face over and over again.
It looks like over, and a lot of times you're hitting the helmet, a lot of times you're hitting the shoulder. You're lucky you get a couple of good shots to the face, but clearly he took a couple, otherwise he wouldn't have his shiner.
Right.
And you could see his knuckles are all bloody. No, it had to calm down. Even Laviolette said he can't prove his worth sitting in the penalty box. So it will dial itself down, and there's a very good chance that if they make a couple of deals here and the deadline's coming up on Friday, that he might be in Hartford anyway. So I do think it's going to naturally scale itself down.
Let's go to Dalton in South Carolina. Dalton.
Dalton. Is it Roadhouse?
Yeah. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. If the Giants was to pick in the draft Harrison, what do you think about that?
Well, I'd love it.
As a wide receiver.
I would love it. I just hope that they would be able to find a quarterback and trade back into the first round to do it.
I don't think he's going to be available at six.
It's interesting, right? Because it really depends. You figure the top three quarterbacks are going to go 1, 2, 3, right?
Mm-hmm.
So what do the Cardinals do at four?
Well, their coach professed love for Kyler Murray, so
then he's gone at four. You would think.
You would think, right?
If you're going to keep Murray, Murray needs somebody to throw the football to, right? So I would think that next up on the board, I have intimate knowledge of all the needs the Cardinals have, but it feels like Harrison Jr. is a can't miss. You've got a quarterback that might be a miss. I'm a little surprised that they're, I guess just because of the contract, going to give it another try with him. That I don't think he'll be there at six. But there could be wide receivers, Michael, that aren't Harrison Jr. that are very, very good. But now the talk seems to be that all these quarterbacks could be gone like by 16. So if the Giants think they can trade back into the first round like in the 20s and get McCarthy or get Penix or get Nix, you know, Mike Tannenbaum was on Get Up today saying he thinks by 16 they're all gone. So wouldn't that be a disaster, Michael? They trade two second round picks to move back into the first round to get a quarterback, and then there's no quarterback.
Well, I'm glad you brought this up because I wanted to talk about it. I mean, listen, I have a totally untrained eye. I watch both the Michigan's games in the playoffs, and I watch them more than I watch other teams because I have an interest in Harbaugh. I don't see it, man. And they're making McCarthy to be almost the equal to the other quarterbacks other than maybe Caleb Williams. I didn't see it. Now, I know they don't run an offense where you throw a lot because they run a lot and they run successfully, so they don't ask him to throw that much. What are they seeing that I'm missing, Don?
Well,
I mean, are you seeing a great quarterback there?
They're obviously looking at different things, Michael. Why do you think these quarterbacks move up during the combine or move down during the combine? I wonder how much do they actually look at gameplay, or do they look at character and the Wonderlic test and how high they can jump and what they could potentially do in the NFL? Because, Michael, even though it's close, it's not that close between college football and the NFL. I mean, there's a major leap there.
Is that the first three quarterbacks didn't throw. McCarthy did. McCarthy did everything.
No, he has, and he's impressed everybody, and I think there's a little bit of, nobody thought of Tom Brady in Michigan. He couldn't even start in Michigan. Look, he became the greatest quarterback of all time. I think there's a little perfect storm coming here. You know he can handle the pressure, won a national championship, you know, and I think history does kind of matter there. But, Michael, how do you explain that Baker Mayfield was able to jump to number one? Remember, it was suck for Sam that whole offseason with Sam Darnold was the best quarterback coming out of USC. And then all of a sudden, Baker Mayfield jumps him when they didn't even play a game. I think we get caught up in what we see in these college football games. I'm wondering if these general managers pay as close attention. Listen, they're paid to see more than we look at. I mean, they're looking at the All-11s. They're diving into the character. They're diving into how they practice. They're talking to the coaches, the high school coaches. So they must grade differently than we do. But well, McCarthy's moving up. And I don't know if he's going to be there. Everybody thinks he's going to be there maybe the second round. I don't know.
Well, Tannenbaum was on Unsportsmanlike, the morning show, and he was asked, is McCarthy a top five pick? Here's Tannenbaum.
Without question, in my mind, like, to me, like, the draft, like, at five with the Chargers, like, I think the Chargers definitely could trade out, and I think based on the way he worked out, and in fact, how well he played in his career, I'm hard-pressed to see J.J. McCarthy getting past five. I think if the Vikings lose Kirk Cousins to Atlanta, I could see either Atlanta at eight or Minnesota at 11 moving up for him.
Well, you know what? I give up. Okay, so obviously I'm sitting here growing a beard because I don't know what I'm talking about with football. If J.J. McCarthy is a top five quarterback, what did I miss? What did I miss in the games
that
I watched?
Don't beat up yourself. You're not watching these games the way an NFL general manager's watching the games.
Yeah, but you could watch Caleb Williams and say, you know what? This guy could play. You could watch Jaden Daniels and say, well, this guy could play. J.J. McCarthy, again, it must be something from the combine because it can't be off the tape from Michigan. Now, all the guy does is win. Even in high school, he won.
But
he's not asked to do much.
All right, but then how do you explain Russell Wilson dropping to the third round? Right, so obviously nobody saw anything from him to take a chance on him, and he ends up being a Super Bowl winning quarterback. Same thing, you know, with Patrick Mahomes. Did you watch him? Did anybody pay that close attention to what was going on in college? And
but
then
you know what, the tenth
overall,
we weren't watching Texas Tech, but everybody was watching Michigan.
But,
and again, there's nothing that he did that was like eye opening.
But you would think that Patrick Mahomes, based off of what he's done in the NFL, should have been the first overall pick in the draft. He ended up dropping to 10. Same thing with, you know, Joe Montana played at Notre Dame, Michael. He played at Notre Dame. Everybody pays attention to Notre Dame, especially in the late 70s.
Oh, yeah.
He went in the third round. So obviously there is a major leap from college to the pros. We've seen Heisman Trophy winners be complete busts or not get drafted in the NFL. So obviously gameplay is only a little bit of what they look at. We are just fans. We watch and say, oh, well, he doesn't impress me. But they obviously get paid a lot more money than a lot of other people to sit there and watch it in a different way. Was Eli Manning that overly impressive at Ole Miss? I mean, obviously he did enough that Ernie Accorsi had to trade up to the first overall pick. Ole Miss wasn't winning a national championship. He wasn't breaking records there. He wasn't Peyton Manning coming out of Tennessee. But obviously he saw something and he ended up being right. So don't beat yourself up for that. We're not supposed to know.
Well, listen, I watched one extended highlight video. And
what'd you think?
I have decided Jaden Daniels is the quarterback that I want.
Yeah, that's it.
That's it. I watched the highlight.
This is on YouTube? Watched this?
It was on YouTube. And of course, it's good plays. They didn't include the bad plays.
Right.
But I saw enough.
There must not have been any, right?
The only thing I can assume is there were no bad plays. He's the right fit, and that's who I want at two. So we'll see what you guys get. You know what I mean?
J.J. McCarthy in the top five. I mean, so that'll be four quarterbacks in the top five. So the only non-quarterback will be Marvin Harrison Jr.
No one wants a DN. No one wants a tackle.
But then you've got Kurt Warner saying he doesn't think any of these quarterbacks are good. So I don't know.
Did you see that? Kirk Cousins tears his Achilles, right? Achilles.
Yeah.
And now the Vikings and the Atlanta Falcons are going to be in a bidding war. He might get $50 million a year as a 35-year-old quarterback.
Because what works without one, Michael? What works? Like, what team can find a way to overcome bad quarterback play? What team? Now, you could tell me, well, Don, Brock Purdy was last draft, but obviously he played at MVP level last year and they got them to the Super Bowl. If you don't have a quarterback, really, what else? Is that the one position you can get by without?
You cannot.
Can't.
Cousins is fascinating.
Isn't he? I mean, the guy's been so savvy with his salaries.
I started the quarterback show yesterday, Michael, because I hadn't watched it yet. And
lovable, right?
Very lovable. But I've always known he was lovable ever since I played catch with a Snickers bar with the man. But he's also just a really, really good player who's always sort of passed over in every conversation. And granted, he hasn't won. He's only won a playoff game, right? He doesn't have a lot of playoff wins. But I just can't decide. When you say it's all about the quarterback, is Cousins of that ilk that he could be that guy? Because to me, I feel like if I had a team that was already in pretty good shape, I would absolutely take a shot on Kirk Cousins.
And that's what the Falcons think. They think that they're Kirk Cousins away from making a deep run into the playoffs. That's what they feel. And then, obviously, the Vikings think we can't bring a young quarterback in here with the wide receivers we have. We've got to have Kirk Cousins to run this offense. So when all is said and done, he's going to be one of the top five earning quarterbacks in the history of football.
Yeah,
think
timing,
about it.
Timing is perfect.
It and really all
is.
Of his money seems to be guaranteed, too.
Well, the Redskins gave him three in a row?
Yep.
Three franchise tags in a row. Isn't it funny, guys, to think about how obscene that money was and how low it is now? I think it was like 27, 28, and 29 million.
And I think the Vikings gave him 90 million.
Guaranteed.
3 years guaranteed.
So like it's
he's got the Kevorka, Don. He really does.
But it's interesting because the way people talk about him, everyone just sort of is like, eh. And then you watch him play and listen, every once in a while he makes a play that frustrates you and you shake your head at, but I think you put Kirk Cousins on a good team, you've got a chance. It'll be interesting to see what happens for him.
1-800-919-3776. That's the number. We'll take some of your phone calls when we get back.
Well, Michael, some breaking news. Some breaking news as we go to break.
Tell me.
So we're talking quarterbacks.
Yep.
The Denver Broncos have cut Russell Wilson, according to Diana Rossi.
You know, people that think that he's going to retire, he's going to be desired. If you look at his numbers, Peter, last year, they weren't bad.
No. What, 26-6?
They were not bad.
I'm curious about what Denver, obviously they saw something they didn't like, but it's a little curious.
Well, let's put it this way, Peter. The team that doesn't get Kirk Cousins is going to sniff around for Russell Wilson.
Yeah, of course you are. Why would you not?
And then Baker Mayfield is in an unbelievable situation. So Evans gets 26 million a year for 2 years, 35 of it guaranteed. So they're desperate, the Bucs, to keep Mayfield. And Mayfield becomes a free agent. He's going to have an unbelievable amount of money. He gambled on himself, made $4 million last year. He's going to make $40 million this year.
Are they thinking that high now?
Of course he's going to be bid on.
Because I thought the number was going to be 30 for Baker.
I thought it was
Baker,
25.
Or 25.
It might be more.
Well, listen, Evan said he wanted to sign with a team that had a chance to win a Super Bowl and an elite quarterback, and he re-signed in Tampa. Now, I don't think they're winning a championship, and I don't think Baker Mayfield's an elite quarterback, but they can't exactly pivot now. Well, pivot to who?
Yeah, that's why these guys, you know, so Justin Fields is out there for a trade. And then you're taking chances on college guys. A lot of them don't work out. So wouldn't you rather have the sure thing? You know what Baker Mayfield is. You know what Russell Wilson is. You know what Kirk Cousins is. Oh, to be a quarterback that could throw right now. You know, we talk about Tom Brady making $37.5 million with Fox. If he came back, he'd make more. If he came back right now to quarterback, he'd make more.
It's crazy.
When I'm getting ready for a game, I have to be prepared. I have my lineup cards, the latest team stats, and of course my mug of Bigelow tea. For me, it's Bigelow Earl Grey with a smooth taste that keeps my voice in peak condition, even when the game goes into extra innings. I refuse to settle, neither should you. No matter how hectic your day gets, grab your favorite Bigelow tea, take a moment just for you. So grab a mug of your favorite Bigelow tea, join the millions of fans that make Bigelow number one in New York. Bigelow tea, the official hot tea of the New York Yankees.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network. Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish.
shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and tequila season.
Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
Fun show so far. A lot of stuff to talk about. 1-800-919-3776. And we go back to the phone calls. Let's go to Christopher in the Bronx. Chris.
Hey, what's up, guys? How you guys doing? It's
good.
Chris out Bronx in UPS truck. Can't make no lefts.
Love it.
Go ahead.
I wanted to, first of all, real quick, just say, Michael, I agree with you. What real friend you have growing up if you can't tell your friend his mom is hot? That's for one.
Absolutely.
Just really say that this has been the first time in a very long time where the Knicks are, like, absolutely fun to watch. They are going through, you know, the rough patches, but, like, this team has not been this fun to watch in I don't know how long. I'm 33 years old, and it's never really been fun, maybe sometimes with Melo, but this is like a gut, like, wrenching, like, they get to it, and I'm such a big fan and everything that they're doing, and I don't want a big splash. I don't want to get rid of nobody to get a crazy superstar. I just want to add a little pieces.
Well,
here
see,
and there.
Now, Chris, now that's where you're wrong. I agree with everything you said up to that point. They need that great superstar to take the next step into being a finals contender. Why wouldn't you want that? I'm not saying trade away the players you love. They've got so many first-round draft picks stocked up. That's how you get that player. How could you say you don't want that superstar? Everybody wants to grow everything organically. It doesn't work like that.
Not in this sport.
Not in this sport. I mean, you have to add something. If you're going to build from nothing, you can say, well, the Denver Nuggets did that. Okay. But, I mean, did they know that Nikola Jokic was going to become that when they drafted him? It's really hard to do. I don't get it when people say, oh, I don't want to add anything. Why? You don't want to be great?
No, they're scared. People don't like giving up the players that they like. I mean,
but they're not giving up anything, Peter. You've got like eight, you've got seven first round
picks. Yeah, well, that's the crazy. If you can do it, if they could make a move without giving up, you know, you're still going to have to give up someone, even with the draft picks. Let's be realistic.
Just for the money.
But still, yeah, I mean, yeah, you got to dare to be great, guys. But
the last trade that they made, they gave up pieces that I think fans didn't really want to give up on. And then those guys all start playing well. They start winning, and then you forget all about it.
Yeah, fans didn't want to give up Barrett.
No.
They didn't want to give up quickly.
No.
You know, how'd that turn out? They were 14-2 in January with Anunoby.
And that's why they killed the deal when it first happened, because I think it was out of love for the players that they gave up. And then you go on an 8-1 run, whatever it was, I mean, play out of your mind in January before everybody started to get hurt. And then it was all forgotten about. But it's like you say, what are you giving up here that you can't give up?
It's not like they would trade Brunson for that great player. Yeah. If anything, they might trade Randle.
Might.
And that was just to make the money match. I mean, people, relax. Yeah, I agree. This is a fun team. Do you want to have a fun team that's going to get knocked out in the playoffs? Or do you want to have a great team that could win a championship for the first time since 1973? I'm just wondering, do you want?
The fun gets old if all it does is get you 2-and-done every year. Right, it was one thing when you weren't making the playoffs. Now you're making the playoffs. Hey, it's fun. Hey, we finally won a round for the first time in God knows how long. 2013. Yeah, this is fun. Fast forward 5 years from now, Michael, and all it is making the playoffs, getting bounced in the second round. Guess what? It's not going to be fun anymore.
Right. And they don't have a lot of championship pedigree to lean back on and go, well, it wasn't that long ago. It was a long time ago. Do the math. It's 51 years.
But even not only that, they haven't been to the conference finals since 2000. That's 24 years ago. The last time they won two rounds. The last time they've been to the final, that was 25 years ago in 99. I mean, that's a long... There are people that are in their 30s that don't even remember the last time this team actually came close to winning a championship. So yeah, it's fun. They're entertaining every single night. But what do you have to compare it to? What, 10 years of one and done or not making the playoffs at all?
Let's go to JJ in North Carolina. I always go to JJ with some trepidation. JJ?
Why is that?
Well, you'll see.
Trepidation. Okay.
Yeah.
Trepidation.
Yeah, sometimes you bring it, sometimes you don't. More times not.
This is, how dare you? I think the Knicks are going to be fine. It's just when everyone comes back, I don't want people to panic. Obviously, like you guys said, I think they're going to add a superstar here in the off season. But I really want to get to something more important.
Mm-hmm.
I've kind of had a realization of life recently. I'm 22 years old, and I feel like I would have loved to live in like the 80s or the 90s. I'm kind of sad that I didn't get to experience the old time kind of things. Have you guys ever noticed that, like, when you guys are just like sitting around, you know, BSing with your friends, you're talking about the good old days and nostalgic times? How come it seems like everything in the past was better than it is now? Obviously, we've grown to be better humans
No, we haven't.
Everybody.
Most people have, and we've kind of like, you know, we've had a lot of
human beings are awful.
Yeah, but no, he's saying societally there have been positive changes. I think we could agree with that. Yeah,
but not human being wise. You
know, like, but keep going, JJ. What are you trying to say?
But I think it's just fascinating how we always look to the past, and it's great. You know, music was better. It seems,
but it's all just because we were younger. That's it. Everybody says this at every age.
That's true.
I'm going to tell you what it is.
I feel like an old soul at heart, and you know, I just wish I got to experience that. You know, Michael, Don, you have. You know, rock was better. Peter, rap and hip hop was a little bit better. It's kind of dying on the hill. I mean,
but JJ,
I'm going to be dead within 30 years. You've got another 60 years to live,
and you don't know it until you get older and realize what you have now is special. But then you won't know until you get a little bit older. I'll give you the perfect analogy. I think everybody can appreciate this of any age. Is that there are songs that'll come on the radio that I had no use for when I was like 20 years old, that when they come on the radio now, I leave on because it takes me back to that time. So it's not that I like the song. It just, it reminds me of a simpler time, a better time. That's why we all reminisce about the past. Peter's right, because it takes us back to when we were 16 years old, when there was no responsibility and life was just ahead of us. And you're going to get to that point too. You don't know it. You're living in it now, and then you'll fast forward 20 years from now and you'll go back to, boy, 2024, man, things were just so much better.
It just so happens that everyone from every era says things were better in their childhood. It's because in your childhood, everything's more exciting and better. You're happier. You haven't experienced the things in life that darkened you a bit.
But I will say this. I don't know if you guys agree with this, though. I do think we see it with sports, with football. They're trying to take a lot of the physicality out of the game. You know, there's less fighting in the NHL now for the same reasons, because of the concussions. I think as we try to be safer, it does take a little of the fun out of it. Right? New York is way safer than it was back in the 80s. Is it as much fun, Michael, as it was going to New York when you were a kid, like in the 80s?
Well, I don't think it was fun when it was dangerous.
Yeah, but there was an element of fun to it because of that reason. Like, well, there was a little bit of an edge to it.
Okay, then you don't want to be an edge now.
But my point is that as you start to grow as a society to make things safer, you do sometimes take a little bit of the danger out of things, and that sometimes makes things a little bit more fun. But like honestly, Michael, it's so much better football that guys aren't getting folded in half anymore. But you can't tell me it's not as entertaining. I mean, as barbaric as that is to sound, there was an element of football. It was a lot of fun seeing these guys throw their bodies against each other.
I agree.
Now, and for all the right reasons, so these guys aren't dying when they're 50 from post-concussion syndrome and all that, we've done the right thing. But sometimes by doing the right thing, we've taken a little of the fun and excitement out of it.
Let's go to Mark in Miami. Mark.
Gentlemen, good afternoon.
How you doing?
You had played good. You had played the Tannenbaum clip earlier about J.J. McCarthy. After he was on the show this morning, your former colleague Chris Canty said that he received a text from somebody who was at the Combine who said McCarthy has serious accuracy issues and wouldn't draft him early in the first round. So there's a lot of divided opinion on him.
Well, you know what, Mark? That's what I saw. I mean, so if Chris said he got, you know, but it's such an inexact science. It's such, I mean, the Jets thought that Zach Wilson was great. They couldn't have been more wrong. So it's just inexact. Right. Who knows?
But was there anybody, Michael? Or they may not have taken him at two, but was there anybody that looked at him and said, don't touch this guy. He's going to be one of the worst quarterbacks we've ever seen. Probably no one.
Right.
Now, they might not have drafted him two overall, but I don't think anybody saw this. If anybody saw Joe Montana and Russell Wilson, they would not have taken him in the third round. So, I don't know. Everybody's looking at different things. Accuracy would bother me, Michael. If you can't hit your receivers, what good are you? But, listen, Mike Tannenbaum has been a general manager in this league. There's people that have covered this sport that swear that this guy is can't miss. And they're putting their name to it, so they can't run and hide if they end up being wrong.
Well, I'm putting my name. So in 10 years, when he's a great player, I'm going to be on Freezing Cold Takes. Because I just don't see it. I don't see it. Maybe I'm wrong.
I mean, are you really basing this on one game?
No, because I watched both games, and then I watched a lot of Michigan during the season.
And I can tell you.
I watched the Ohio State game. I don't even told Don. I don't see it.
You know, the last time Michael said this that I remember was about Vince Young, and he was right. Now, Vince Young was an okay quarterback in the NFL, but I remember you saying after the national championship game, I don't like the way this guy throws. I don't see him being that big of a deal. So Michael's been right before.
And I love Jacob DeGrom when before anybody knew it. Come on, I've got some skills.
He did right after his first start, Peter. And I was there drinking cannons with Ryan Hurley.
Really?
Next day.
We put him on drinking cannons.
This guy is going to be great.
And he's going to win this team at...
Listen, he did what he tried.
He tried his best.
Leo in New Haven. Leo.
Leo.
Michael, Don, Peter, how you guys doing?
Great, you?
Great, man. So my point is, let's talk about the trade Cashman didn't make this offseason. Obviously, in the past, he's held on to prospects far too long. And if this season goes the way Yankee fans want it to go, there's a possibility that if we make or may not come up short and we held on to Spencer Jones in the deal for Corbin Burns or Dylan Cease. What do you think about that, Michael?
I don't think I would trade Spencer Jones. If for Corbin Burns, he's a one-year pitcher. He'll be available as a free agent next year. I mean, the Yankees have to guard against the fact that maybe Juan Soto doesn't re-sign with them. And then their outfield is going to be Spencer Jones at some point, Jason Dominguez, and Aaron Judge. I mean, teams don't just, make decisions on that day. They've got to think forward, too. Now, if they end up getting Soto, well, then at some point, maybe you move Judge to first base or DH, and then Spencer Jones, who everybody in the sport loves. You don't just give him up for Corbin Burns. Or for Dylan Cease, you just don't do it. I understand why. Sometimes you hold on to players and it's a mistake. But sometimes you have to have the courage of your convictions. If you think this guy's going to be a star, then you got to hold on to him. Now, you can look in the past and say, Brian's held on to people too long. He held on to Miguel and Duhar too long. He held on to Gary Sanchez too long. He held on to people too long, and they all of a sudden, they are devalued. But they really believe in Jones. People throughout baseball believe in Jones. The guy stole 44 bases. He's 6'7", and he's a great outfielder. They could still get a pitcher at the trade deadline, guys. Don't worry about it. And if they think they're that one pitcher away, and then you trade Spencer Jones, well, then you know what? You get very few chances to win a World Series. Maybe they do it then. But I think they made the right move. Just watching this guy, seeing what he could be, there's still flaws in his game. Strikes out too much. Doesn't lift the ball. Although he lifted one 470 feet in his first spring training game. But these are things that are correctable. You just don't give up a guy who was your first round draft pick. You just don't. Hey, spring training, by the way, it's not just for baseball players, Peter. No, it's time for you to get into shape and ready for the warmer weather. For over a decade, NJ Diet has helped thousands of people lose a contractually guaranteed 20 to 40 plus pounds in only 40 days. That's nearly twice as fast as weight loss injections and without any of those nasty side effects. NJ Diet uses your hair and saliva along with scans to personalize natural solutions and supplements to get you to shed that fat quickly. Then NJ Diet uses your DNA info to help keep the weight off. You're fully supervised the entire time to make sure you're burning fat, not just losing water. And you even get Dr. T's personal email and phone number. Locations close by are available from home with live online consultations. Call 855-5NJ-DIET. That's 855-5NJ-DIET. Or schedule your consult today at NJDiet.com. Get ready for spring with NJDiet.com.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day. But sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
I saw a little bit of information to tie something up that we've talked about today to what that previous caller said about Spencer Jones. You really have to be careful about making that deal and trading a jewel in your farm system. You know, the sixth pick in the first round for the San Francisco Giants was Zach Wheeler. And they traded him to the Mets for Carlos Beltran because right. They thought they were going to make a run at a World Series. It didn't happen. They gave up Zach Wheeler, who they wish they had right now. If you want to go back further, this was done during the season. The Detroit Tigers gave up John Smoltz for Doyle Alexander.
Oof.
And you can't say it was a bad deal. I think Doyle Alexander was like 10-0 down the remainder of the season.
Right.
They made the playoffs, but they gave up John Smoltz, and they didn't win a World Series.
Right, because they got bounced in the league championship series. And the other one is Jeff Bagwell for Larry Anderson.
Yep.
Red Sox traded Jeff Bagwell to Houston for Larry Anderson. Red Sox didn't win, and Jeff Bagwell goes to the Hall of Fame as an Astro. I mean, it's... But you take these chances, Michael, but it's all just... It's not air, because the guys do a lot of work on them, but you don't know. These camp misses miss. These guys like Mike Piazza are drafted as a favor to somebody's father, and the next thing you know, they're in the Hall of Fame. You don't know.
Baseball just released some of the things that the changes of last year did. Average MLB game lasted 240 in 2023. That's the shortest since 1985.
Wow.
After the All-Star break, there was 0.3 pitch clock violations per game, and 75% of games contained no violations. Scoring increased 9.2 runs per game versus 8.6 runs per game the previous year. And among left-handed hitters, batting average on pulled balls in play rose 35 points on ground balls, 27 points on line drives. And there's some changes. They have reduced the time with runners on base from 20 seconds to 18 seconds. And they said that should help because, on average, pitchers began their deliveries with 7.3 seconds remaining on the 20-second clock in 2023. And they've also cut mound visits down from 5 to 4. So a couple of things right there. I saw something today that, you know, Don and I talk about this a lot, where you say things that you shouldn't say. And it's like you're circumventing rules and... You know, the Minnesota Twins owner said the other day, we're not interested in any of the bit. And they're getting investigated because it breaks the CBA. And it's called tampering. And like if an owner says, I like a player on a team, it's called tampering. Why is this okay, though? Sauce Gardner on his X account today actually at Devontae Adams, the great wide receiver with the Raiders, and said it's time. Well, why is that okay? Devontae Adams is a signed player for the Las Vegas Raiders. Why is it okay? Right. It's almost like a guy saying to somebody's wife, hey, want to go out on a date? It's wrong. You shouldn't be able to do it. Because, even though you're a player, you should not be able to do
because
it.
Because I guess you can't govern it, I guess, because is the Players Association going to fine you? I guess they just can't stop the players from talking, but I'm with you, Michael, because who's to stop an organization saying, listen, we can't talk about it, but why don't you tweet about it?
That's
why don't
a great
you
point.
Talk about it?
Yeah, maybe they're using the player.
Now, is it fair for a team to get fined or lose draft picks for something a player says? But, hey, they're under contract with you. You should be able to control them. Hey, listen, that happens in the NBA all the time, too. If you can't tamper, you can't tamper. That should go for the players as well.
Yeah, it's funny. If you want to do it behind the scenes, don't insult my intelligence. Do it behind the scenes. Call up Devontae Adams and why don't you go to the Jets? But to do it this publicly, it's kind of like really, really crass. I mean, again, Sauce Gardner cannot get himself off of X. He just can't. He cannot stop tweeting. This is wrong for him to do. And the Jets should stop it.
Does anyone say anything? That's the thing.
I don't think there's, like Don said, Peter, I don't think there's anything they could do unless you put in the collective bargaining agreement. Again, but they would do it behind the scenes. But, I mean, it's just like so, again, crass to do it like out in the open. You're recruiting somebody's, you know, like somebody's married and you're recruiting the wife.
I just don't understand. Again, there's a lot of fans that love the interaction with these players and they love Sauce Gardner for it. And it's a way for him to be able to express himself. But there's got to be some kind of happy medium. I mean, he's not nobody. He's doing commercials. He's a pro bowler. He was rookie of the year defensively. He shouldn't need the attention. But so he wants Devontae Adams. If they don't get him, then what? Oh, well, you know, it's odd. It's just a weird way of going about it. Like you say, you want to go behind the scenes, you want to call them up, you want to DM them, whatever, but it just seems like it's, look at me.
Now,
a little bit too much.
You do wonder where the Jets are getting this great wide receiver that they need to go along with Garrett Wilson, right? Where are they getting this guy? Mike Evans was somebody of interest to them. He just signed. Devontae Adams said to the Raiders, I want Antonio Pierce as the head coach. They hired him. So what leg does he stand on to ask to be traded? He's not going to be traded. Where are they getting this great wide receiver, guys? Where are they getting him?
I don't know.
Is it going to be Justin Jefferson?
Unless they draft one at 10. But they also have to address the offensive line. So what good is a great wide receiver if the quarterback can't stay upright or maybe, God forbid, get him hurt again like what happened last year? I just wonder, is there anything that's going to happen? You got the draft, you got free agency, but is there really anything going to happen to move the needle enough to get you feel differently about this Jets team moving forward?
But I don't know if we need to, Don, because before he got hurt, we didn't think the needle had to be moved. We thought they were Super Bowl contenders.
Well, yeah, but now we know different, because what we saw is that this offensive line isn't up to snuff. We're still not sure about the coaching, and I think the AFC is going to be better than it was last year. So even if they stayed static, Peter, you still feel like you moved backwards.
There's just no way to know how to feel about this team generally because you still have no idea who Aaron Rodgers even is. I'm sorry. At this point, we have no clue.
And you can't stay static. You only have two offensive linemen. So they've got to add offensive linemen. They have to. They should beg Jason Kelce to come out of retirement 3 hours after he just retired.
Nah, you know what? I'd respect it.
Very interesting proposal by Dan Graziano, which is gaining some traction around the NFL. And it concerns the Giants and a quarterback. We'll talk about that when we get back. But first, Peter's going to talk about Dodge.
Hey, guys. Peter here to talk about Security Dodge, Long Island's Ram and Wrangler headquarters. Come get some right now. You can get a 2023 Jeep Gladiator for up to 30% off MSRP. That's right, up to 30% off MSRP. Don't forget about their 7-year, 100,000-mile certified pre-owned warranty on all certified pre-owns, all right? All during the Jeep Celebration event. Shop 24/7 at securitydodge.com.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.